Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is July the 5th. We are in Parshas Chukas. We're on page 844 in the Stam Chumash, the very last word on the page. Tonight is unfortunately going to be an abridged shir. I have to go early, but we will cover what we can cover this evening. On page 844, the last word on the page, we just had the story of Moshe and Aaron hitting the rock. And now, the Pasuk tells us, in Pasuk Yud Daled, verse 14, Vayishlach Moshe Malachim Mikadesh El Melech Edom. And Moshe sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom. Kol Arachicha Yisrael, so says your brother Yisrael. Edom, of course, is Esav. So says your brother Yisrael. Atayadata Iskla Tula'a Shemitza'asnu. You know all of the difficulties that have befallen us. They say hardship. All the hardships that have befallen us. Our ancestors went down to Egypt. And we dwelled in Mitzrayim for many years. And Mitzrayim did evil to our ancestors and to us and to our ancestors. We cried out to Hashem. Vayishma kolenu. We heard our cry. Vayishlach malach, and he sent a messenger, an agent, which is Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayotzienu mimitzrayim, and he took us out of Egypt. Vihine anachnu v'kadesh, and behold, we are now in Kadesh, ir kitzei gvulecha, the city that is at the border, the edge of your border. Nabranav artzecha, let us pass now through your land. Lo na'avor b'sadeu v'cherem, we will not trespass. We will not go on any field or any vineyard. V'lo nishteme v'er, we will not drink from the water of a well. Derech ha'melech ne'lech, the road of the king we will go, meaning where you tell us to go, we'll go. Lo nitei aminu smol, we will not turn right or left. An asher na'avor givulecha, until we pass your border. So we will not, we'll do exactly what you tell us to do. We will not impede anything that's going on in your country. And let us go through. Vayomer Elov Edom, and Edom said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo savor bi, you shall not pass through me. Pen bacher veitzei likrasecha, lest I come out to greet you with the sword. Vayomer Elov Bnei Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael said to Edom, we will go up. They translate this as on the trodden path, on the highway. It means the path that has been taken by everybody else. We're going to walk only on what has already been walked on. And if either I or my cattle drink from your water, we'll pay for it. Rak ein davar baraglai avora, which they translate as only nothing will happen. Rak ein raglai ein davar, there will be nothing. Baraglai avora, I'll just pass with my feet. That's all. I'll just go through. Nothing is going to happen. Vayomer lo savor. Edom said, you shall not pass. Vayetzei Edom likraso, and Edom came out to greet him, to greet the Jewish people. Ba'am kaved, with a heavy nation, a lot of people. Uviyad chazakon, a strong arm. Vayemoein Edom nesones Yisrael avor bigvulo, and Edom refused to allow the Jewish people to pass through its borders. Vayet Yisrael me'alav, and the Jews turned from Edom. And now they have to go a long way around Edom to get to Eretz Yisrael. The Jewish people would like to get into Eretz Yisrael as quickly as possible. They are in the city of Kadesh, which, in order to get from there into Eretz Yisrael, requires that they go through the country of Edom. Edom, the Jews, do not have permission to attack. They either get permission to pass through Edom with Edom's blessings, or they can't go through. We know that at the end of Parshas Chukas, the Jews are going to have to get through the lands of Sichon and Og, and when Sichon and Og refuse to let them pass, there is a war, and the Jews win that war and take over their countries. But with Edom, the Jewish people are not permitted to just attack Edom. They have to ask permission. And when Edom says no, then we are not allowed to go through. And so we have a back and forth. Moshe Rabbeinu describes what happened in Egypt and then says that we'll go through and we won't do anything wrong. Edom says no. Moshe Rabbeinu persists and seems to repeat the same argument and says, I'll just go straight on the regular path. I won't hurt you. I'll pay if I take any water or anything like that. And Edom says no. And the Jewish people now have to go around Edom. So aside from understanding the conversation here between Moshe Rabbeinu, his agent, and Edom, we have to understand exactly what is the context here of the Jews trying to pass through the land of Edom. The country of Eretz Yisrael, where the as you know, the map of present-day Israel, the country of Eretz Yisrael in the Torah is not exactly the same as the borders of the modern state of Israel. Obviously, the modern state of Israel is smaller than the borders of the land in the Torah, and those borders will be spelled out later, towards the end of Sefer Bamidbar. But the land, the area of the land is larger than what is described here, is larger than the current borders of the state of Israel. However, that is not to say that every part of the current state of Israel is part of the country of Eretz Yisrael in the Chumash. The country of Eretz Yisrael in the Chumash does not go as far south as the current state of Israel does. The current state of Israel juts down south in a diagonal manner all the way down to an arm of the Red Sea, which is where you have the city of Eilat. And the reason why it does that is because when the United Nations divided up the country, they gave Israel a port that would enable them access to the Red Sea. Enable them access to the Indian Ocean. If they only had their western border of the Mediterranean, that does not give them easy access to the Indian Ocean without going through the Suez Canal. And so they gave Israel a port on an arm of the Red Sea so they can get out to the Indian Ocean. That's the historical reason why the state of Israel juts that far south, all the way down to an arm of the Red Sea. However, the truth is that the Chumash borders of Israel only go as far south, a little bit further south than Be'er Sheva. That's about it. And there's a lot of land there that is not considered the Chumash borders of Eretz Yisrael. So what was, in the time of the Chumash, who lived there? And the answer is, several different nations lived there. One of them was Edom. Edom lived south of Eretz Yisrael, in the area beneath Be'er Sheva, further down. Now, down there is also a city called Kadesh. Kadesh Barnea, Kadesh, whether it's the same exact place or slightly different, but there is an area called Kadesh down there in the south. That area, Kadesh, is outside the borders of Eretz Yisrael. The Jews had been to Kadesh before. We had come to Kadesh Barnea, and it is from there that we sent the Meraglim, 40 years or 38 years before this incident. And from there we sent the Meraglim. We were at the border of Eretz Yisrael. We sent the Meraglim. The Meraglim reported back their negative report. We accepted the negative report and we were punished that we were not allowed to go into the land. I want to say parenthetically that it was asked a few months ago whether the women had sinned with the Meraglim, with the spies or not. We know the women did not sin with the Egel Hazav, the golden calf. What about with the Meraglim? At the time I was not sure. Rashi writes in Parshas Pinchas, in regard to the Benos Salavchad, very clearly that the women did not sin with the Meraglim. So the women, just as they did not sin with the golden calf, they also did not sin with the spies, with the Meraglim. At any rate, it is from Kadesh Barnea that we sent the spies, and when we were punished, we had to turn and leave that city, or that area, and wander the desert. Now Rashi, in Parshas Devarim, explains to us that we wandered the desert. We started in Kadesh Barnea. We wandered, and eventually we came back to Kadesh, which is where the Jews find themselves here. So that we ended up back in the place, or roughly in the place, where we were when we had sent the spies 38 years earlier with such disastrous results. And now we're asking Edom permission to go through. So one must therefore ask the question, how come 38 years ago the Jews don't seem to have had to have asked anybody permission to go anywhere? We were able to walk directly into Eretz Yisrael. Had we not sent the spies, that's what would have happened. And here, when we're back in Kadesh, seemingly on the doorstep of Eretz Yisrael, and yet we are unable to go into Eretz Yisrael without getting permission from the king of Edom, who refuses us permission. Now, the Torah, in speaking about the land entrances to Eretz Yisrael, meaning what are the ways that a people could enter the land, you'll say, well, come from wherever you want them. There's a lot of border there, but the border is not friendly all around, meaning the terrain is not easily negotiable everywhere. There's rocky terrain, there's mountainous terrain, there's desert. It's not so easy to simply find a place to enter Eretz Yisrael. There are easier access points and more difficult access points. The Torah describes to us in Parshas Beshalach that the most direct access point from Mitzrayim would have been Derech Eretz Plishtim, the way of the land of the Plishtim, which would have meant to leave Mitzrayim towards the north of Eretz Mitzrayim. Eretz Mitzrayim, the north of Mitzrayim, is the Mediterranean Sea, and to hug the coast, moving from southwest to northeast, hugging the coast of the Mediterranean. So, where the way you would be facing it, you'd start here and move in a northeasterly direction up into Eretz Yisrael. The Mediterranean would be on our left, and we would be heading up into Eretz Yisrael. If we took that direction, we would come in what is today the Gaza Strip, which is hugging the coast of the Mediterranean, which is biblically the Eretz Plishtim. So that is one of the ways into Eretz Yisrael, is Derech Eretz Plishtim, is to hug the coast and go in through what is today the Gaza Strip. That was not permitted by Hashem, as is described in the Chumash in Parshas Beshalach, for fear that we would see a war and want to return to Mitzrayim. The next most direct route is to come directly from the south, which is what we did. We, instead of heading north up to the Mediterranean and then northeast into Eretz Yisrael, instead we headed directly east. We crossed the Yam Suf, an arm of the Red Sea, got the Torah at Har Sinai, somewhere in the Sinai Peninsula, and then headed straight north up into Eretz Yisrael, moving slightly to the east, but going straight from the south up into Eretz Yisrael. And that's the second most direct way to get there from Mitzrayim. In that direction, you come to Kadesh, which is at the southern point outside Eretz Yisrael, and from there you can enter Eretz Yisrael. There is a mountain there, which is called Har Seir, the mountain of Seir. It's not clear whether it's the same mountain or a different mountain, but there's a mountain also referred to over there called Har HaEmori. The Derech Har HaEmori the way of the mountain of the Amori. That is a, that is mentioned in the Chumash as this entrance point. The first entrance point is Derech Eretz Plishtim, the way of the land of the Plishtim. This entrance point is called Derech Har HaEmori. It's also called Derech Har Seir, the way of the mountain of the Amori, or the way of the mountain of Seir. We know that after the Meraglim and Hashem punished us and said we will now have to wander, we know that the next morning a group of Jews, it says, went up the mountain, and from there they wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael. They said, Hinenu ve'alinu, elam akum asher amar Hashem kichatanu. They said, here we are, we want to go in. And they went up the mountain, the Torah says. We can hold the place here if you want to read it inside. The Torah tells us, back in Parashat Shlach, which we did not long ago, the Pasuk tells us, on page 810, on page 810, Pasuk Mem, verse 40, it says, Vayashkimu vaboker, they got up early in the morning, Vayalu el Rosh Hahar, Lamor. They went up to the top of the mountain saying, we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. These are the Mapilim, they were killed when they tried to enter Eretz Yisrael. But they went to the top of the mountain. Rashi here tells us what mountain. Rashi says, Hu haderech ha'ola le'Eretz Yisrael. That's the way that goes up into Eretz Yisrael. So coming from the south, there is at least one mountain. And again, the Chumash calls this direction either Derech Har HaEmori, the way of the mountain of the Amori, or Derech Har Seir, the mountain, the way of the mountain of Seir. It seems that for some reason, 38 years earlier, there was no need for us to have to ask permission to go through the land of Edom to get to Eretz Yisrael from this direction. We were coming from Kadesh, and we were able to send spies. Had we not sent the spies, we could have gone directly into Eretz Yisrael, and we would not have needed permission from Edom. Why not? It's unclear whether the reason is because at that time Hashem did not restrict us. Hashem gave us free rein to go through the land of Edom without Edom's permission. And that after the Meraglim, part of the punishment is that now we have to ask permission. Or if Edom did not physically own the land yet, that the land between Kadesh and Eretz Yisrael was not yet part of the land of Edom. And therefore we didn't have to ask permission because they didn't live there. And now 38 years later, the political boundaries have changed. And now they have the land between Kadesh and Eretz Yisrael. And we need to ask permission to go through. Be with that as it may, whichever explanation you're going to say, or maybe a different explanation than those two, before we did not need to ask permission, and here we do need to ask permission, and that permission is rejected. It is not granted. And therefore, in the end, we have to turn around, go south, away from Eretz Yisrael, to go around the country of Edom, south and then east and then north, to go around the country of Edom, back up to come to Eretz Yisrael. And we'll talk about that in Mirtz Hashem as we get further in Parashas Chukas, the route that the Jewish people took as they were trying to get into Eretz Yisrael. So this again is the second most direct route into Eretz Yisrael, and it too proves to be closed to us, which means we're going to have to find a third way into Eretz Yisrael in order to get to where we have to go, which is going to happen later in this parsha. Why is it that we were not allowed to attack or disregard Edom and just walk through their land? So that is described by Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Devarim, that there Moshe Rabbeinu explains that Hashem told us that he gave the land to Esav, that Hashem gave the land to Esav, and we have no right to disregard his ownership. It is real ownership, and we need his permission to go through. And when he says no, it's no. We can't do it. Now, what was the negotiation over here? First, Moshe Rabbeinu takes pains to describe what happened. He says, we went through a bunch of hardship. We went down to Egypt. We were there for a long time. they did evil to us. We cried out to Hashem. Hashem sent an agent, that would be Moshe Rabbeinu himself, and he took us out. And now we're at your border, and we want to go through. Why the preamble? Why the whole history lesson of what happened? Just say, we're at your border, we'd like to go through. May we or may we not? So, the Mefarshim Rashi here tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was doing two things over here. First of all, Moshe Rabbeinu was pointing out to Esav that really, that we were in Egypt and that we had terrible hardships was not necessarily supposed to be our burden. Avraham Avinu was told in the Bris Bein HaBesarim that his children would be slaves in a land not their own for 400 years, and they would have to work, and they would be oppressed. Avraham Avinu's children does not only include us. Esav is also one of Avraham Avinu's children. And he could have been the one to deal with the Egyptians. So Moshe Rabbeinu is pointing out to Edom, you didn't have to go through it. We took care of it. There was a debt that had to be paid, meaning someone from the children of Avram needed to go through this trial and tribulation. We did it. You didn't have to. So that's the first point. The first point is, cut us some slack. Give us a break. We just did something for you. We took the brunt of the punishment of being in Mitzrayim, so now we'd like you to step aside and let us get into Eretz Yisrael. That's the first point. Second point is that Moshe Rabbeinu says in Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16, Vanitzak el Hashem Ayishma Koleinu. We cried out to Hashem, and Hashem listened to us. We have the bracha. We have the bracha from Yitzchak Avinu, Hakol Kol Yaakov, that the voice is the voice of Yaakov. We have the power of davening. We davened, and Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. This was somewhat of a veiled threat, that here, if we daven, Hashem will listen. So we can daven to go through your land as well. So those are the points that Moshe Rabbeinu made to Edom. There are other points as well, but those are the points that we're going to discuss. So when Moshe Rabbeinu then asks to go through, that's just the preamble. Then he says, let us go through your land now. We will not go through neither field nor vineyard, which means we're not going to trample any of your crops. You have millions of people traipsing through your land. You're concerned they're not going to treat things properly. They're going to inadvertently or maybe deliberately cause trouble and mess things up. He says, we're not going to do that. We're not going to damage any property, neither field nor vineyard. We won't drink any well water. We'll go the path of the king. We will not turn right or left until we cross your border. And that's all. So Rashi here explains to us that what does it mean we won't drink the well, we won't drink mei ve'er, we won't drink well water. What does that mean we won't drink well water? We won't drink from the water that you have. Or we won't drink from the water of wells, because there's more than one well in Egypt. But it says we won't drink well water. So Rashi explains what they're saying is, we won't drink from our well water. We won't drink from the water of our Be'er, of the Be'er of Miriam. We won't drink from it. Instead, we'll pay for our water. So he's saying that we will buy from you rather than use our own supplies. Edom says, no, you may not pass through me, lest I come out with the sword to greet you. Now, what is Edom saying? So Rashi says Edom is responding in kind to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, we cried out to Hashem, and Hashem listened to us. We exercised the power of our voice. Hakol Kol Yaakov, the voice is the voice of Yaakov. And Hashem listened to us. Edom responds, well, we also have a bracha. We have the bracha of the Hayadaim de Esav, the hands of Esav, Velchar b'chatichya, you'll live by your sword. We have that bracha as well. And if you want to come against us with the power of your mouth, we'll come against you with our sword. And you may not come through our land. That's his response. So the Jewish people, or Moshe Rabbeinu, doesn't want to give up so easily. So they say, we'll go on the straight path. And if we drink any of your water, either me or my cattle will pay for it. Nothing will happen. I'm just going to go through with our feet. So what is changing between the first offer that Moshe Rabbeinu made and the second offer? Again, the first offer is that we will not go through any field or any vineyard. We won't drink from our own well. We'll go the path of the king. We won't turn right or left until we cross your border. That sounds pretty limited and pretty rigid. Edom rejects that. So now Moshe Rabbeinu responds, we will go only on the trodden path, and if we drink any of your water, even me or my cattle, we will pay for it. So what is being added over here? So clearly one thing that's being added is that we're going to pay if we use any of your water. So not only am I guaranteeing you we will not cause any damage, if we cause damage, we will pay for it, whatever the damage is. To which Edom says no, and Edom actually does come out with an army, and the Jews have to turn away from Edom. So what is this back and forth exactly? Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Edom that, look, we went through all of the troubles. We went through everything that we had to go through over here. Don't get in our way of getting to Eretz Yisrael. We went through the trouble. Now we deserve to get Eretz Yisrael. Now, Eretz Yisrael came with a price tag. If you recall, way back in Parashas Vayishlach, all the way back in Parashas Vayishlach, you can hold the place over here and turn back to page 192. On page 192, describing the family of Esav, the Torah tells us, Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Vayikach Esav es noshav ves banav ves benosav. Esav took his wives, his sons, his daughters, ve'is kol nafshos beso, and all of the souls of his household, ves mikneu ves kol behemto, and all of his cattle, all of his animals, ves kol kinyano, and all of his possessions, asher rachash be'eretz Canaan, that he had amassed in the land of Canaan, vayelech el eretz mifnei Yaakov achiv, and he went to find another land because of Yaakov, his brother. Because they had too much, the two of them could not dwell together. There were too many possessions. And the land of their sojourning could not carry them because of their cattle. They were tripping over each other. And so Esav left. Why did Esav leave? Why didn't he make Yaakov leave? Rashi tells us Esav didn't want to stay. He wanted to leave. As Rashi writes, as Rashi says, Mipnei shtar chov, because of the debt of shal gzeiras, because of the decree, ki ger yezaracha, that your children will be strangers in a land not their own, of the bris ben abesarim, hamutol al zaro shal Yitzchak, which was now going to have to be fulfilled by one of the children of Yitzchak. Amar, Esav said, Eilech li mikan, I will leave here. Ein li chelek, I do not have a portion. Lo bimatana shenitna lo haaretz hazos, not in the gift that this land was given to him. Velo bepiron ashtar, and not with the paying of the debt. I don't want to be a slave. I don't want the land. I'll give up the land. I'll give up the slavery. That was Esav's reason for leaving Eretz Canaan. So Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Esav over here, so we paid the debt. That was the deal. You left because you didn't want to pay the debt. We paid the debt. We went through Egypt for 400 years, for 210 years. Now, let us through. We should at least get the payback of Eretz Yisrael. Esav says, no, you're not going to go through me. And if you try, I'm going to fight you. You're not going to go through me. Now, what is Esav's goal in not letting Yaakov go through? Is Esav looking to take over Eretz Yisrael? Or is Esav just preventing Yaakov from going into Eretz Yisrael? We don't find that Esav attacks Eretz Canaan. All they're doing is they're going to stop Yaakov from going into Eretz Canaan. Esav says, yes, you paid the debt. I am not going to facilitate your getting into Eretz Yisrael. It's just not happening. You're not going there. That's the response. Vayomer elav Edom. Edom says to him, Lo savor bi. You will not pass through me. So there's no, Edom is not saying, I'm going to attack you wantonly. Edom is not saying, I'm going to attack your land. Edom is saying, it's not my problem. You find another way to get in. I'm not aiding and abetting you're getting into Eretz Yisrael. That's not happening. You find your own way in, but you're not going through my land. And if you try, then I will use the sword against you. So now, Moshe Rabbeinu responds, we will go on the trodden path, and if we drink any of your water, we'll pay for it. Nothing will happen. Just let us go through. What is this offer to pay for it? That Rashi back in Parashas Vayishlach said one more thing. There's another reason why Esav left and he didn't stay in Eretz Canaan. One is because he didn't want to have to go to Eretz Mitzrayim. The other is umipnei habusha, and because of the shame, shamachar bechoraso, that he sold his birthright. Esav understood that he's not going to get Eretz Yisrael. He sold the right to Eretz Yisrael. He sold his birthright. He gave it up. And therefore, he was not going to get any of the brachos of Yitzchak. He gave up everything. Yaakov already got all the brachos because Esav gave it up. Esav gave it up because of selling the birthright. And Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Esav over here, if you, we want to go through. We're only going to go on the trodden path. We're not going to mess anything up. And if we do, we will pay for it. We will pay for whatever we do. There's not going to be any outstanding damages or debt. Everything will be paid for. What is Moshe Rabbeinu adding over here? Moshe Rabbeinu is also hinting to the other aspect of Esav's reason for rejecting Canaan. He is saying, there are no debts over here. We owe you nothing. We paid. We paid for the land because we went through Mitzrayim. We also paid for the birthright. You gave it up. It was paid for fair and square. You voluntarily gave it up. A Yaakov Avinu paid you with bread and with lentil soup. You gave it up. There are no outstanding debts over here. There is no reason for you not to let us pass. Everything is even. And Esav this time says, you will not pass through, and he actually comes out with an army. Esav is determined not to let Yaakov go through. Esav is going to do whatever he can to stop Yaakov from getting there. And this is, as we have described many times, Esav had the ability to be on center stage. Esav had the ability to be part of the main show of creation. Bereishis, Bishvil, Yisrael, Shenikru, Reishis, the entire universe was created for the Bnei Yisrael. Esav could have been the primary supporting role for Yaakov. That's what could have happened. But Esav did not live up to it. And as a result, Esav is pushed out, and Yaakov plays both the Yaakov role and the Esav role, which is manifest in marrying both Rachel and Leah. Edom, at the end of the day, is ashamed. And when Moshe Rabbeinu points it out to Esav, that we're fair and square, we paid for it, Esav is determined to not let us reach our fruition, not let us contribute to humanity the way we are supposed to. That is what Esav is trying to do, because Esav is forever guilty of having given up that opportunity to play that role, to play the most significant supporting role for Klal Yisrael. And once Esav has given it up, they want to stop our role at all costs, which is why Esav has destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. That's why we are still in Galus Edom, the Galus of Esav. And so Bnei Yisrael are unable to go through Esav. Hashem has granted Esav their land for the time being, and we have to go around. And that's going to result in trouble, as we will see as we continue through the parsha. Now, Rashi does point out to us that in the future, Rashi writes in Parshas Lech Lecha, in the future we will be given the lands of Esav and also Moab and Ammon, which are the other lands we're not allowed to attack in this case in Parshas Chukas. But for the time being, we are unable to attack Edom, and we have to accept it when Edom says, you may not pass through. Had Edom allowed us to pass through, Edom was giving up a golden opportunity. Hashem was giving Edom a partial reprieve, a chance to do teshuvah. Edom was being given an opportunity. You gave it up. You could have been the supporting role. You can still play a minor supporting role. Let the Jews go through your land into Eretz Yisrael. That means you would have enabled that final push into Eretz Yisrael. That would have been accredited to Esav. Esav would have gotten a little bit of where they were supposed to be in their role in creation. But instead, Esav rejects that role again. And he rejects it with the sword, and he absolutely refuses. And Esav, therefore, is never able to regain that position. There's a question here, let me read it. Why did Moshe repeat the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and why the same wording in Pasuk Yud Dalid, Biyad Chazakah, same wording as in the Chumash? Right, so we already dealt with the first part of the question. I'm not sure why the emphasis on Yad Chazakah, that's a good point. I'm not sure the emphasis on that. As I mentioned at the outset, I need to leave early. We're going to stop here. I will pause for any other questions. Okay, Mirtza Hashem, I will see you next week.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.